Acts chapter 2. Appreciate the presence of the Lord this morning. Thankful for just the way that he helped. I feel like people got help this morning. And that's what it's about. And Brother Pepper already said, we as ministers and we as people are imperfect. But how many knows it's the presence of God that makes that difference? Amen. And that's what we're going to preach on here tonight. Amen. The book of Acts, chapter number 2. And a lot of times we hear this is a very familiar scripture, you know. But if you've been in it very long, they ought to all be pretty familiar. But how many knows as people we need reminded sometimes? Sometimes we get in the habit of things. Sometimes we take things for granted. When I get to Belize and I can't find water, I got to find a bottle. I can't drink it out of the, you know, I ain't got a refrigerator to, I mean, you figure out some of the things you took for granted. And so sometimes, as the songwriter said, remind me, dear Lord. Amen. If the Lord would help us, we'd like to just remind you tonight. And the very first verse says, and when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like of a fire, and it set upon them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Amen. You may be seated. If the Lord would help me tonight, I'd like to preach to you the power of the presence of the Lord. And there's something different about what happened here in the book of Acts. We find all through the scriptures, we find evidence of the presence of God, and we see the power of the presence of God. In the very beginning, we find the presence of God in the garden. And we see how that the presence of God illuminated that city with His holiness. And it was provided peace and love and joy and contentment there in the garden. And then we find that sin caused a separation. But then when God reveals Himself again in the garden, we find that the power of the presence of God causes a conviction. That Adam realizes, hey, there's something wrong here. Amen, there's something missing. And I'm here to tell you tonight that we still need the power of the presence of the Lord in our lives. Amen. It must be something, amen, that we seek and that we reach for. And it must be something, amen, that we find a renewal in. How many knows what I'm saying? Amen. It must be a renewal. We find the power of the presence of God. Amen. Brought conviction. We find the presence of God fell upon a hillside in the desert. Amen. As Moses sat there in the back of the desert and felt like everything was over and everything was done, and maybe that he missed the calling of God, and the Bible said he was content, but we find the power of the presence of the Lord there. Amen. As he showed himself to him and he saw a bush that burned and was consumed not. I'm telling you, he realized there's something different about this. Amen. This isn't ordinary. It's not normal. Amen. He knew God. He knew the power of God. But now there's something else revealed to him. Now there's something different that's revealed to him. I came to tell you, amen, there's just something different about the manifestation of the presence of God. God is a personal God. Christ is a personal Christ. Hallelujah. And the Holy Ghost is very personal. Amen. In the beginning, there was three. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. In 2018, February the 3rd, there's still three. Amen. And we find that God still sits high and mighty upon a throne. Amen. And we find that at the right-hand side of the Father still sits Christ. Hallelujah. But we find here in the book of Acts, amen, something different. Something different that's taken place that's ever happened before. Something very personal. Amen. The power of the presence of God. Amen. In the lion's den, what did it do? Amen. The power of the presence of God with the three Hebrew children. What happened? Amen. They looked in and there was more than three. Did we not just throw in three? But they saw there was, as the Son of God, there in the midst, amen, something different because the presence of the Lord was there. Amen. I'm telling you, the prophets prophesied about this day that would happen. The very hour that we are living in, the prophets of old desired it, never did see it. They never did feel it, but we find in the book Acts that something different happened. Amen. That Christ died and he rose, and the Bible says that he was seen by over 500 brethren. There was many infallible proofs that yes, this was the very Christ that died. This is him. That is, there's no mockery. There's no foolery. They've not pulled anything over our eyes. This was the Christ. And then I must needs go away. But I'll send back another comforter. Hallelujah. We find in the very first chapter of Acts, amen, when after 500 brethren are standing around, he says to go and tarry in Jerusalem and wait for the promise, amen. And he said, when that promise shall come, you shall receive power. Amen. How many knows that is the hour that we're in? Amen. I know it's gotten away from a lot of folks in this hour, but there is still power in the presence of the Lord. Amen. I know that we can sit in church and the power of God be moving and it might not affect us. Amen. Oh, but I'm telling you, when the presence of God is manifest and we get in and we reach for it, and there becomes two is in the one, I'm telling you, there is a difference that's made. There's something that happens with the power of the presence of God in our life. Amen. And that's what happened in the book of Acts. The manifestation of the power and the presence of God. Amen. Cloven tongues as a fire. There was a sound. There was a sight. How many remembers how many were in the upper room when that happened? 120. Not a lot of difference in our churches now. We might have 500 members, but we have 120 that'll show up on a regular basis. It's about one quarter. So we find that we might have a record of folks in the church, but there's really only about one quarter that's really trying to strive and make a difference. Amen. I mean, we go into churches and we meet the pastors. We meet their families. We see their burden. We see the push. We feel the pull. We see what they're doing. Amen. We think, wonder if just a quarter more of the folks would get in, what kind of service they could really have. We see the burden that the pastors carry and the families carry, and we wonder what would happen if just somebody else got a part of that burden. What kind of service? What kind of church? What kind of difference could it make? But I came to tell you, there's a difference that can be made in this hour because the power, the presence of God in our life makes a difference. Hallelujah. It makes a difference. There was something that changed on the day of Pentecost. Hallelujah. I mean, the power of God was revealed. It was manifest. Very personal. Very personal. The Bible is something that for everybody. It's for anybody. Anybody. It's universal. The Holy Ghost is different. It's personal. When the Holy Ghost came down in the book of Acts, he didn't just set up on them. He didn't just touch. He didn't just move. He didn't just breathe. It wasn't just an emotion, but there was something that took place on the inside. They were filled. Are you hearing me? They were filled with the Holy Ghost. I'm telling you, still power in the presence of God. And there's nothing more than we need in this hour. And to be full of the presence of God, it still makes all the difference. I'm telling you, amen, halfway's not enough. Every now and then is not good enough. We need to be filled. We need it all. I'm telling you, God still makes the difference if we've got a desire and we've got a fire and we've got a push. And if we'll pay the price, God's willing.
God is willing, but are we? Because there's a difference that's going to take place. Because again, the Holy Ghost is very personal. Amen. When he come to reside in my life, he knew, as the psalmist said, he knew my uprising, my downsetting. He knew my faults. He knew my imperfections. He knew all about me, and my imperfections are not Brother Jason's imperfections and Brother Pepper's imperfections, but for my own. My faults are mine. My weaknesses are mine. And it's all unhidden. And it's all transparent. And it's all clear. So what happens is this. When the power and the presence of God is revealed inside of me. Amen. To reside in me. To make me Christ-like. Amen. He starts working on my imperfections. Amen. It's easy to look around and see everybody else's problem. And everybody else's fault. But I'm telling you. What we need is a holiness mirror that we can look in. And say, what about me? Hallelujah. Where do I stand? Amen. I'm not looking at somebody else and comparing myself, but I'm looking at Christ. I'm looking at what I should be. I'm telling you, Brother Jason, what I see in the mirror every morning, amen, I know what I'm lacking. I know what I'm missing. I know I'm unworthy, but God knows we've got a desire, and we know that there's still a difference in the power of God. Hey, I'm telling you, I ain't able to get up here and preach. I'm not able to do anything, but it's the presence of God that makes the difference. Amen. It's the power of the presence of God that still makes the difference. Amen. It's the power of the presence of God, and we must realize that we need that presence in our life. Amen. It must be something that's renewed day by day. Hallelujah. It must be something that we recognize. It must be something that we know. It must be something that we keep a meter on the inside of what's going on. Amen. Hallelujah. Too much flesh. Amen. There's got to be something there to remind me. Amen. Hallelujah. I told you this morning. Amen. My mother and my father, I watched them as alcoholics. I watched, amen, growing up, seeing things that children ought not ever have to see. Heard things, amen, that children ought not ever have to hear. Amen. It's funny how at 3 years old you can remember some things and some things you can't. Amen. I can remember at 3 years old the very house that we lived in, the very street that we lived in. Hallelujah, I can remember everything about the walls, where it was painted. I mean, I can remember all that because it was one of the worst parts of my life. Hallelujah, my daddy was an alcoholic, and I can remember, amen, not being able to see him for a long while at a time. Amen, but I can remember him coming home late at times and hearing him and my mama fighting. Hallelujah, I'll never forget one night in the middle of the night, I was asleep and I woke and I heard my mama crying, and I went into the kitchen and there she was, unclothed and tied to a chair, and my daddy had a belt and was wearing her out. I'm telling you, things that a son should have never had to see. Oh, but I'm telling you what, when something happened that day in that cabin, and when the presence of God was manifest to my mama, she never knew what it was like. She never knew. Nobody preached it, nobody taught it, but there was a presence of God that revealed itself and let her know you don't have to die and go to hell. And I'm telling you what, my daddy at the very same moment on the back of the hill squirt button, there was a power, the presence of God that was personal enough to let him know he didn't have to die and go to hell. And somewhere in the midst of all that plan, there was a son that would be called into the ministry one day. And God said, if he's ever going to be anything, and if anything's ever, we need to get this family fixed. Because family plays a huge part in the lives of their children. It affects your children, how you live, whether you realize it or not. If I come to church and I get in and I'm doing good and I'm grouchy and mean at home, they know what I am. If that's all I do is come to church and sing and get in and bicker and fight at the house all day long, you hear me? They know. Amen. You ain't pulling the wool over nobody. Amen. We pulled up to a church we were preaching at one time. Amen. My young boy looked at me. He said, Daddy, why are they always outside on the front smoking? I said, I don't know. You have to ask them. He said, I thought that was a sin. I said, like I said, you'll have to ask them. Amen. Hey, I didn't even know it. Amen. But we said some things and done some things, and they weren't happy about it. Oh, come to find out the pastor was sneaking in the bathroom smoking. Amen. I'm just telling you, hallelujah. Something was missing. Something was wrong. And it didn't take but a little child to look and see. Amen. It didn't take real great spiritual eyes. It just took somebody that knew, amen, what was right and what was wrong. I'm telling you, amen, we are affecting our children by the lives that we live. I want my family to see that there's something real in me. I want my sons, amen, to follow after my footsteps one day and know, hallelujah, that what I lived, it was right. Amen. There was never no give. There was never no backup. Hallelujah. There had to be something to it. I've got a grandson and a granddaughter. I want them to know that there's something that's alive and something that's real. I want them to know the power, the presence of God. And if nobody else shows them, I want to show them. I want them to see it in me. My boys at the moment are lost. It's not been that long ago I was praying for them, and I'm down and out. Dear God, can you reach them? Can you save them? Will you touch them? And God spoke to me and he said, son, it's not too much for you to ask for me to save your children and to take them on the missionary field with you. And I got to thinking, God, I'm not even believing what I'm praying. I'm asking as if, God, can you do it? Can you reach them instead of, God, save them? Hallelujah. And I realized even at that moment the burden that was placed upon my shoulders. They are watching me. Hallelujah. They know me. Amen. They know me like nobody else knows me. Hallelujah. They see me when nobody else sees me. I want them to see the power, the presence of God. Hallelujah. My life at home. Amen. I want them to hear Daddy pray for them. I want them to hear me even at home. Amen. While we're praising God and speaking in tongues, you say, you wouldn't do that at home. Oh, yeah. Amen. I'm telling you, what we do in our home, it affects us. Amen. It affects our children. But I watched my mother and I watched my father and I watched salvation and I knew that it was real. But then something else transpired and something else took place. Amen. And mama was in there in that cabin and she was praying and the Holy Ghost started moving on her and filled her. Amen. There was a manifestation that was very personal. Amen. My mother has a speech problem. She quit school in the 8th grade. She can't much read or write. Amen. She's not real smart, if you will. Hallelujah. She was a drug addict. She used to huff Toluene as a child, and I'm sure it burnt many brain cells. Oh, but I'm telling you what, there was something that transpired and something that happened in that little cabin when the Holy Ghost came down and said, hey, I tell you what, there's something more. There's something better. My mama never heard anybody speak in tongues, but when she began to speak in tongues, there was a child that was across the way in a room. I didn't know what that was. I couldn't give you an answer. Oh, but I knew that it was something that was real. My daddy watched her and he said, I saw her life and I saw the changes and I saw it wasn't a holiness preacher that was preaching it. It wasn't a holiness teacher that was teaching it. It wasn't anything at the time. But they saw the difference. Why? Because of the power of the presence of the Lord. Amen. And that's what happened in the book of Acts. Amen. Well, I want to say it again. The old prophets prophesied about it and never knew what it felt like to be full of the Holy Ghost, amen, and speak in another tongue. But that's the hour that we're still in. Are you hearing me? That's the hour that we're still in. The Holy Ghost is very much real. And the power of the Holy Ghost is very much real. We see it evident in a few in every church, but I wonder if there would be more that would get in. I wonder if there would be more that would desire it. Oh, it's good for the pastor and the pastor's wife, and it's good for everybody else. But what about me? Hallelujah. I don't know about you, but I want everything God's got for me. I want to hear, welcome in my good and faithful servant. Well done. Hallelujah. I'm telling you what, we need it more than we can realize. Oh, God. We need power of God in our lives more than what we realize. And it's not about the miracles. It's not about speaking in tongues, but it's about something very personal that happens on the inside of us. It's about something that comes in, and it's like a doctor that could open up your heart and see all your valves. And God's deeper than that. He can go in and see beyond the valves. He can go on and see beyond the cells. Hallelujah. He can go in and see above everything. Amen. That's what we need in this hour. Amen. Is more of the power, the presence of God. Hey, we're in a church. How many knows the presence of God is always here? But there's something different about the manifestation of the power of God. There's something very much different. Amen. When He said, I've got to go away, but I'll send back another comforter. Amen. I'll send somebody else back that'll teach you all things. That'll lead you in all ways. Very personal. Amen. What do I need for my life? Amen. I might not have to call the pastor every time there's a decision to be made in my life. Amen. I want to tell you, if I'd have listened to people, if I'd have listened to family, I'd have never been where I'm at in the ministry. We're here because we had a personal relationship with God. Because there was a power on the inside that you couldn't explain, amen, that would lead and guide and touch. I'm telling you, we're missing it in this hour, amen. We ain't got to live the way we live. We ain't got to live unhappy. We ain't got to live miserable. There's something more. There's a very personal God, amen, and there's a power in the presence of God. Amen. They acted like they were drunk. Think about it. Something that changed, a personal change that took place. I was telling them today as we were eating about a man in Belize that kept telling us he didn't need to come to our service. All we did was hand him a flyer and invite him to church. He was telling us all the reasons he didn't need to come to our service because he'd already been baptized. I've been baptized. Well, that's good. And maybe you're saying the same thing, preacher. I've already got the Holy Ghost. But I'm asking you, when's the last time you got lost in the Holy Ghost? Hey, when's the last time you really prayed through and the Holy Ghost moved on you? Amen. I'm asking you, when's the last time you were in your prayer closet at home? Amen. And there was a manifestation on the inside of you. You've got to have it. Amen. You've got to have it. Amen. Just like it was said earlier, it's not something that's optional. Amen. It's something that you need. Amen. It's something very personal to lead you, to guide you, and to help you. I'm telling you, if you're going to make it in this hour, amen. He said in the last days, there would be many that would be deceived. There'd be many that would turn away from the faith. We're in that hour. Amen. Not knowing what's real. Why? Because a very personal power, the presence of God, is missing in their lives. There's something beyond just going to church and coming in and going through the motions and having a good service and feeling good and then going home and going back to work through our normal life, amen, and then come back to midweek service and do it all. I said there's more to it than that, amen. I'm telling you what the number one agenda in our life ought to be, no matter what we do in life, no matter what our job is, no matter what our title is, amen, our number one agenda ought to be, what can I be for God, amen, is God happy with me, amen, because I don't know about you, but I want God to be pleased with me, amen. It's not enough for the pastor to say, buddy, you did a good job tonight. It's not enough for somebody else to shake my hand and say, I enjoyed the preaching, but when I leave this house tonight, I want God to be able to lean back on His throne, and I want Him to be able to cross His arms and lean back and say, hey man, my will was done. That's all that matters. Hallelujah. That's the only thing that matters. I came to tell you when there's a day that's a coming, and each of us will stand before judgment before God. And I'll tell you something you maybe never have heard, but I'm not in any fear of standing before God for the things that I've done. You say, are you perfect, preacher? No, I'm imperfect. But all of my imperfections I put behind me. He's still working on me. Don't get me wrong. That's why I got a wife. But when there's something wrong, there's something on the inside that says, hey, that ain't right. then we find it's an old-fashioned altar, and there's still a fountain filled with blood that's drawn from Emmanuel's veins, where sinners plunge beneath that flood, lose all their guilty stains. Oh yeah, I had to go back to the fountain. I've had to go back the cross. Oh, but I'm thankful the sins are behind me. I'm thankful they're cast into the sea of forgetfulness. So I'm not fearful of standing before God for what I've done, but my greatest fear is to stand before God for the things I have not done. The things that God said I could have accomplished, the lives that God said I could have had an effect on, the folks that I could have helped, those that I could have changed. Hallelujah. One pastor told me one time, he said, son, you can preach this world over winning souls, but if you make it to heaven and your family's not there, what have you accomplished? I'm telling you what, I haven't accomplished much if everybody else has won and I've lost my family. Amen. I'm telling you, they've got to see it. They've got to know it's real. Amen. It's not something I talk about. It's not an emotion. But there's a power, the presence of God, that's very much real in our lives. Amen. My dad said he watched my mama. I'm not just trying to be repetitive, but he watched my mama. Amen. He saw the difference in her life till he went back up on that hill and said, God, whatever it is you gave her, I want it. Amen. I wasn't but a young child, and I began to watch my mother's life. I began to watch my father's life. Amen. We finally got into a Pentecostal church. Amen. And I started seeing things, and I started hearing things. And even as a child, I thought there's something to this. Amen. And I was about 10 years old, and I started seeking the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Amen. I never told anybody. I never said anything. I just kept saying, God, I want that. Amen. I want that in my life. I need that in my life. If it's something I'm supposed to have and it's something that I need, I want it. Amen. I'll never forget on a Sunday morning, the pastor said, I feel like everybody ought to get in a line. I want you to come through the line and I want to anoint you and pray for you. And then we're going to do the reverse. He said, I'm going to stand here. I want a line to go around and I want you to pray for me. That's just a normal Sunday morning. Amen. It might have sounded dumb or stupid to somebody else. Oh, but I'm telling you, there was something that happened that morning. Amen. Nobody else might have thought anything of it. Nobody else might have cared. But there was a 10-year-old boy in that line. I'll never forget when I touched that pastor and started praying for him. There was something that came down out of heaven and filled my soul. I began to speak in another tongue. I knew there was something different. I knew there had been a change. I knew it was alive and I knew it was real. And it's still very much alive and real. And necessity tonight, we need the power of the presence of God in our lives. The holler we lived in, you used to have to walk up it because it was full of ruts. Amen. Where the cattle walked through the road, and we had to walk really this little path around the woods. It was dark coming home, and I was the one always wanted to hold the flashlight. Amen. We went to that service that night, and I was still basking in the Holy Ghost. There was still something that was still moving on me. Amen. I was still having a good time. Amen. I'll never forget after that service that night. Amen. We started dancing. I handed that flashlight to my daddy. I said, you're going to have to carry this thing. Amen. There's something that's got a hold of me. There's something on the inside. There's something I didn't understand, but now there's something very personal about it. Hey, I came to tell you tonight, I just to remind you that there's still power in the presence of God, and we need that in our lives very personally. Amen. It's not just for the church. It's not just for the leaders. It's not just for the ministers, but everybody needs it. I came to tell you, you can have tonight. I've already got it, preacher. Well, how about getting a little more? Amen. How about laying yourself down on the altar and asking God to fill you again? I don't know. Somebody ought to step out and make their way to this altar right now. Hey, God, I'll lay myself down. I need more. I know I can feel the Holy Ghost talking. I can feel the presence of God touching. I can feel Him moving right now. I wouldn't just sit there if I were you. Hallelujah. I would get up. But you're still preaching. I would get up and make my way to this altar right now. If you've never experienced the baptism of the Holy Ghost, now would be a good time. Amen. I said now would be a good time to make your way to this altar. I need that very personal touch. It's not enough just to hear the preacher preach. It's not enough just to feel a good goosebump while they're singing. But I need something when I go home. I need something when I get up. I need something in the middle of the week. I need something to help me at work. Oh, glory to God. I feel Him here tonight. Amen. I'm not going to tarry much longer, but I'm telling you, I feel the power and the presence of God in this service. I feel the manifestation of the power of God in this service. And God's telling you, amen, He wants a very personal relationship with you. Preacher, how do I get it? You lay yourself down on that altar, amen, and you get filled with the Holy Ghost. I want to say this again. If you've never been filled, tonight's the night. If there's somebody in this house and you're not even saved, I want to tell you, you can get saved and filled tonight. You ain't got to wait on it. I know. I hear preachers all the time. You got to get saved. You got to do it. But I'm telling you, on a Wednesday night, I got saved, set free from drugs, healed. Amen. And with the Holy Ghost at the same time. You say, why did that happen? Because God saw somebody that had laid their heart down on the altar. Somebody that said, enough is enough. Somebody that said, God, I'm willing. Amen. I need all the help I can get. And God saw me in my imperfection. God saw me in my weakness. And He said, got something for you. I got a little bit of help. And He filled me with the presence of God. That's why I've never looked back. That's why I've never went back. That's why we're still moving forward. I'm not perfect. Oh, but there's somebody perfect on the inside. There's something good. It's a moving me and a touching me on the inside. Glory to God. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Glory. Lift your hands tonight. Amen. Oh, thank you, God, for your presence. Thank you, Lord, for the manifestation of your presence in this house tonight. Lord, we need you. God, we desire you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Somebody get us a song. Hallelujah. Sweet Lamb of God, sweet Lamb of God, sweet Lamb of God. Glory, glory, glory. Hallelujah. How many needs a change tonight? Amen. How many needs a change? You're not able to do it. Amen. You're not man enough. You're not woman enough. You're not strong enough. Preacher, I keep falling. Let me tell you, somebody at Jude said He's able to keep you from falling. You mean I'll never fall down? No, but you'll never fall out as long as you got it. Amen. As long as you keep a hold of it. As long as you let it keep stirring. As long as you let it keep moving. Everybody says you're sealed by the Holy Spirit. Oh yeah, if you keep it, you got it. Amen. Ain't nothing can take you out of His hands. Oh, but I came to tell you there's things that can cause, amen, a split in our lives between us and the presence of God. Know ye not that your body is the temple of God? Be ye holy even as I am holy. Come ye out from among the world and be ye separate, saith the Lord. Those are not my words. Somebody told Brother Leon Buzzard one time after he preached, Brother Leon, I can't live like that. He said, I can't either. Well, why'd you preach it? He said, because only through the power of God am I able to live like that. And that's the only way you'll be able to live like that. When you decide there's enough of me, amen, I'm tired of trying. Amen, I came to tell you there's a power that's beyond you. Amen, there's something that's beyond yourself. If you'll lay yourself down, give up your dreams, give up your desires, give everything away, lay it down at the altar. God, it's yours. Put all your plans, all your thoughts, but everything you've ever been taught, I'm daring you, take it all, set it aside and come to the altar. God, renew me, touch me, give me what's real. because this preacher is not making it up. I didn't come here to entertain you. I didn't come here, amen, for anything but to see the power and the move and the presence of God. What makes a sick man drive all those miles to preach? Because there's a helper on the inside. Hallelujah. There's something on the inside that says, listen, as imperfect as you are, I can still use you. Amen. If you'll give me your life and you'll just get up, open your mouth, I'll put words in your mouth, I'll anoint you, I'll touch you, I'll move on you, and a difference will be made. That's why we keep coming back. I'm not a perfect preacher. I'm not a great preacher. But I want to tell you this, and we're going to close. Somebody needs to step out. I'm not making a general altar call. I'm telling you, somebody needs to step out of that pew and make your way to this altar tonight and lay yourself down upon this altar. Amen. I don't know if you need a refuel or if you need, amen, a new fuel or what you need, but tonight's the night. I want to say it again. If you're lost, tonight's the night. You keep falling.
Sweet Lamb of God, Sweet Lamb of God, Sweet Lamb of God, Hallelujah.